Good to be here today. I'm glad to be in the house of God. I went down there Friday to see Preacher Hyatt, and this is about 1:30 or so. Boy, he looked bad. I felt so sorry for him. He couldn't hardly keep his eyes open. He was so wore out, as if they took that fluid. He got rid of all that fluid. I tell you what, you don't know what it is if you've never had an operation or nothing. And like him, he's never had no problems or nothing. But it'd take a lot out of you. I mean, I've been through a lot. If you want some advice, just come. I didn't tell him the part where it hurt when they pulled the tubes out of your stomach. He told me, he said it hurt so bad. I spared him on that part. I didn't give him that part when I was telling him. He'd ask me things and I was telling him about. But it's changed so much, you know, from back when I had mine than it has today. And he was talking about the wires they had down in there and into his heart. I think that's what hurt him more than pulling them tubes out. But then they said, well, yesterday I think he made 5 laps around the thing, so he really perked up there after he got that done. But God will help him. And I tell you what, I'll be glad when he comes back. What I'm going to preach on this morning, I thought the will of God over a little bit ago, and I thought, Lord, you know, as I look around, you know, I thought there might have been some people here, reason God wanted me to preach this. And I tell you, sometimes you don't know what to do. I mean, I don't want to get out of the will of God and do something different. So if you have your Bibles, open you to Luke chapter 16. Over in Luke chapter 16, you know, there's not a lot of preaching on hell. I mean, because people don't preach it no more. I mean, these big churches, you got all these big churches, well, they don't preach on hell. That's why they have so many people in their church. You take the Catholics, you take the Lutherans, you take all the, they don't never preach on hell. I never, when I was raised in a Lutheran church, never had I ever heard a message preached on hell. And, you know, when I heard it, when I did hear it preached, and God spoke to my heart. And, you know, I never realized that hell is a literal place. I mean, it's just as real as it is right here where we're at today. And people that you walk around with, you're friends with, and you talk to, they think it's just a myth. They, you know, people make jokes about it, and you know they mock it, and all the times they just don't get it in their mind. They don't fathom it that there's a hell. But I want to preach to you today on what the man in hell never asked for. What the man in hell never asked for. Let's start reading in verse 19 in chapter 16. It says, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day." I mean, he lived a good life. I mean, he had it made. And then there was a beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, therefore I am tormented in these flames." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither they pass to us that would come from thence." Then he said, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them that they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto them, if they hear him, hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Father, we thank you, Lord, now for letting us be able to preach. Thank you for the call to preach. And God, I pray right now that you help me, Lord. Because, God, I want to be in the center of thy will. And God, I don't want to say anything contrary to the teaching of the Word of God. And God, Brother Hyatt, trust me enough for me to stand in his pulpit. And God, I pray that you help me that I wouldn't let him down. Most of all, I wouldn't let Jesus Christ down. I ask you, God, I never asked to be called to preach. You called me. And God, I ask you to use me now. God, bless these people here. I don't understand, Lord, but you do. I pray if they would be one here lost, they might get saved before it's everlasting too late. Or maybe they don't have a burden like they should have. But Lord God, you know the reason and the reason why that you want me to preach this. And I don't question it. God, I just do what you say. In Jesus' name, amen. What the man in hell never asked for. I never really thought about this until I got to reading and studying. But there's some things that he never asked for in hell. He never asked for someone. He never asked the first thing he does. It does not ask. The first thing, he don't say, why am I here? He don't say that. He don't say, why am I here? I mean, don't you think that's strange? I mean, I'd say, why am I here? You know, why am I here? You know, if you didn't believe in God and you didn't believe it was a hell or didn't believe in hell, you'd say, well, why am I here? You know, you didn't believe in it. Just because you don't believe in it, don't make it so. There's a lot of things that way. But it seems to me that with the very first question out of his lips should have been, he should have said, you know, why am I here? But what did he say, the first question, he said, hey, he noticed Lazarus, and who undoubtedly was the beggar, you know, at his gates. And it seems to him, he sees him over in a place of comfort. And where he is in a place of torment, and he sees Lazarus in a place of comfort. And it seems that I, you know, I would ask, well, why am I here and he's over there? But he didn't do that. He didn't ask that. But he looked over, and that thing tells me right there, he looked over and saw Lazarus in the arms of Abraham. And think about this a minute. People say, well, I believe we'll be able to look down from heaven and say, I don't think God's going to let you look down. Wouldn't want my dad, I wouldn't want to look down and see my brother going to hell or somebody, loved one dying and going to hell. But yet people in hell could see up. He seen, it was paradise, but he seen up in hell. He sees Lazarus. Now you think about that. He didn't say, why am I here? He must have realized something, some reason that he was there. You hear prisoners, you go in these jails and prisoners and stuff, and you can interview them. You hear them interviewed on TV, and many times they'll say, well, I was framed. They didn't belong there. They say, wouldn't someone in hell say, I don't belong here? Wouldn't someone say, you think they'd be said, I don't belong here? But you take this man here, he said, it says, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes. He lifted up his eyes. And he knew exactly what he had done. He had not repented. He knew he had not repented of his sins. And in verse 30, it says, and he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Talking about his blood brothers. I mean, He's a selfish, still even in hell. He didn't ask, why am I here? But yet he wanted God to send Lazarus over there to tell his brothers. He didn't say nothing about nobody else, just his brother. He was still his selfish, wicked self in hell. He didn't change his mind. He was still rotten, miserable, and deserved to be in hell. He didn't say, why am I here? He knowed why he was there. He knowed he had not repented. He knowed he had not received Christ as his Savior. You find here, and now when you get to a man in hell, and if he could live his life over again and get saved and do it all over again. But see, down there, when you're in hell and it's too late, and you're sitting there, and you're burning in your own fire, and you're tormented in these flames, and it's just to constant pain and agony, and you don't never say, well, why am I here? I mean, we're looking down in the hell here. We're looking here at a man, and you got these people who say, well, that's a parable. But this isn't a parable. This is true. Lord's looking down, giving you a sight in the hell, showing you a rich man that's burning in hell. Friend, if you never turn your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll go to hell. And when you are there, you'll never ask the question, why am I here? You'll know why you're there. This man knowed he had not repented. He knowed he had not repented. Why am I here? He hadn't repented. Romans 5:8 says, but God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he says, why am I here? And then the next thing, secondly, he never asked, why is Lazarus in heaven? He don't ask that. He don't ask why. He sees him over there. He sees him, but he don't ask why is he over there. And how many people in hell that you witnessed to and that you told them about Jesus, and I believe that when the time comes and they're in hell and you're in heaven, and they'll see you up there. And they won't ask why you was up there. You know why? Because they'll remember in their mind, the Bible says remember. They'll remember when you tried to tell them about Christ. When you told them about salvation, told them how to be saved. They will remember then that there was something real about you. No, they're not going to ask why. Why was Lazarus up there? They're going to know why he was up there. Then this rich man seen Lazarus in heaven, and he's a man who has received a few things here on this earth, but now he's receiving many rewards. He's up in heaven with God, and his rewards are because his faithfulness in telling the story of the gospel. You tell the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you will get rewards for the things you do. Bible says we'll be over there and your rewards will be burned and hay and stubble will burn up and the only five things that stand will be gold and pure silver and stuff. It'll be the things that stand. You take when Lazarus is up in heaven, the rich man, he passed by him all the time, and the rich man come by him and would pass by him in the gates. And maybe old Lazarus told him, he said, you need to repent. You need to repent. You need to get saved. That's like you or me, wherever you're at. And you're going, Brother Joe, you're going to the jail and you preach and you tell them, you better repent. You better get saved. You better repent. And then they don't repent. And they don't repent. They die and they go to hell. Or they get be put to death when they're ones that's on death row. But yet they had a chance to be saved and born again. And old Lazarus stood there and he cried, well, sit down at the foot of the gate. And he cried out, maybe he cried, you better repent. You're going to go to hell. He didn't ask why Lazarus was there. I believe he knows. He knows why Lazarus was in heaven. He knew why he was in hell. You see, this rich man, he knew something about repentance. The scripture where Philip baptized the eunuch, and the eunuch come by, and Philip asked him, he said, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch says, how can I unless somebody show me? I believe someone had shown the rich man, and no doubt Lazarus was the one. He knew that Lazarus had received Jesus Christ from Nazareth, and he was the Messiah. That's what the thing right today in this time. We got such a time in our churches today when lost come in the church and you can't tell a lost people from the saved people. You can't tell a Christian from a heathen. You can't tell them because they all look the same. And then you come in as a saved person and they think you're a nut or something. But the thing is, you might be a nut, but you screwed on the right boat. I'm going to tell you what, thank God I might be a nut to this world, but I'm not a nut to God. I'll tell you one thing about it, buddy. I'm ready. When Jesus says, come, I'm ready. But we read here over in Acts 8 and 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He preached unto him Jesus. When we get up here, I preach unto you Jesus. Brother Hyde preaches unto you Jesus. Danny preaches unto you Jesus. When you go hear a true man of God, they preach Jesus unto you. That's how you get saved. It's through Jesus. It's not through fairy tales. It's not through just speaking. I can't speak. I'm not a speaker. He said through preaching. The foolishness of preaching. It's through preaching you get saved and born again. We don't have enough preaching in this day and time. We don't have enough preachers that stands and preaches the Word of God. They want those numbers in their church. And like the brother said, they get counted by the numbers. And they want their name on the sword of the Lord. They had so many people in their church. They don't care how many people are saved and living for God. They don't care about the quality. Get the quantity, yeah. I'm sure I wish it'd be packed out. Well, people went here, but the quality, he wants quality too. But you got to have lost people to come in to get them saved. And you know, that's where we fail. We fail as church members. We need to invite and ask. This old beggar, he kept telling the rich man, no doubt. He said, repent, repent. You just keep living and telling people about Jesus and trying to get them in the house of God. That's all you can do. You tell them about it. You say, hey, you need to be there. You need to be in the house of God. Boy, you go to a church. You go to a work one day, and you go in there, and you all happy on Monday, boy, because, man, you had a great time in the house of God. And they come in, and they look like warmed over death. And, buddy, they got drunk, and, oh, what a time they had, you know. Oh, we had a good time out there. We got drunk, and we went and throwed our guts up in the commode and all this stuff. Oh, that was a great time. Thank God I was in the house of God where the Spirit of God come through when the man of God was preaching about Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary, shedding His precious blood. I'm going to tell you what, I had a great time. That's a great time. Don't have no hangover. I don't have that. No, I can come back a week later and just think about what God has done. Even months later. Since we've been in that camp, I can think about what God has done with them kids. There's not many times when I was out and seeing that I wanted to remember what I'd done. But Lazarus here, he's up in heaven, you know. And then next of all, thirdly, he had never asked, when is this torment going to end? My goodness. That's the first thing I'd be screwed. When's it going to end? When's it going to end? But he didn't ask that. In verse 23 and 24, it says, And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, oh, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. But he never one time said, when is this torment going to end? I guarantee you right now, Preacher Hines probably said, well, when can I go home? You know, when's this going to end? When's it going to be over? You can visit someone in a hospital, and if they're still in pain, and all they want to know is this pain going to get over with? And Brother Hyde, when I saw him up there the other day, we didn't stay but a few minutes, because he was in so much pain. You know, he's thinking, when's this pain going to end? I mean, I've been cut open before, and at the time I was putting shoes on his horse, and I drove a nail through his hoof, and the nail come through, and he jerked his leg, and he ripped my finger up and from down to the bone all the way up. And you know what? I waited until the next day to go get that finger sewed up. And that doctor started sticking them needles in that finger. It's real swole up and laying open. And he was sticking needles in it, numbing it. I'm going to tell you what, I was thinking, when is this going to end? Oh, Lord! The pain was horrible. I'm going to tell you what, buddy, it was excruciating. You're taking a bit burn or something, you think, good gracious, I tell you what, kick your toe on the bedpost or something. And you hopping around, boy, and I'm telling you, oh, Lord, when's this pain going to end? Lazarus never said that. I mean, the rich man never said that. He never said, when's this torment going to end? They ask you in a hospital, well, you don't know what to tell them. I mean, I could tell Preacher Hunt, I told him a lot of things that I experienced, but my experiences ain't the same as his. Everybody's not made the same. Maybe he can stand more pain. Maybe I can stand more pain. Maybe you can stand more pain. I don't know. It's to your body's what you can stand. But here a man in hell burning and burning. Just, you get close to a fire out there, a burning fire, just feel that heat. I reckon it was a cousin, and when she was little, and the house caught on fire, and she was upstairs, and she burnt to death in the house. And this black man went up there and climbed up through and knocked the windows out and went in, and I got her out and brought her down. And they said the skin was melting off from her. I seen on TV, on the internet, I was looking last night at different things, and I saw this guy where he stuck his hand, well, my little grandboy did, stuck his hand on a burner and just burned him, second degree burn. Big old thing swole up. That's the way my Jacob did back there a while back. And just blistered up. The skin just literally melted, blistered up. And they busted it, water come out everywhere. And then he had to take scissors and cut all that skin off. And that's the way they did Jacob a few months ago when he burned his hand. Can you think about the rich man in hell? We don't think about it this way. I mean, it's just all blistered up. You think he's just sitting there like us? And I believe his skin is melting. The tears in his eyes is melting and flames of skin melting. He's just burning all over. He's just burning and burning. And flames, there's no rest for him. There's no help for him. But he never says when's it going to end. No doubt he knows he's in there. Let me tell you this. We need to get serious about our loved ones. We need to get serious about people we know. You got kids. You got family. You got mothers and dad. I got my brother. I got kin people. They're going to hell. They're going to be in this literal fire. And they're going to be down there burning in this torment. And they're never going to say, when's it going to end? It's interesting to note that this man in hell never asked, when's the torment going to end? He did ask, send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue. So he did. He saw Lazarus. Just one dip of water. You take your finger and just stick the tip of your finger from your knuckle down in water, and you can sit there and that water will just hang. And it'll hang on your finger. And you can shake, and finally it might get down there and drop off. One little touch of water. My mouth gets so dry now because of all this medicine I have to take and stuff. It just dries your mouth out. And I have to put a piece of candy in my mouth and try to keep my mouth from dry. But I can't imagine what it would be to be in hell and be burning and be up there and your tongue cleaving to your mouth, melting, everything's melting. I heard on, I think it was the news, or I look at the internet a lot, as the news and stuff, where that woman, this man caught her and poured lighter fluid down her throat and set her on fire. My gosh, that man, it wouldn't take me nothing. I'd put gas on him, I'd tie him, I'd burn him at the stake. I tell you, that's how you stop mess like that. That guy's the full of the devil. He's out of hell. He don't deserve to live. Someone takes somebody's life like that. And then I saw in there last night, I saw where in one of these Muslim countries, I don't know which one it was, an Islam, they took a woman out in the street and they just cut her head off. What kind of devils are these? And they say it's in the name of religion. Yes, yeah, religion, all right. You have your father the devil, and the less of your father ye will do. My God doesn't work that way. You got a choice. You got a choice. You can be saved, or you can go to heaven, or you can make the choice to reject God. You can die and go to hell. But there's a choice. But we're living in a wicked time. We're living in a time when people don't care. You see here, have mercy. He says, you have mercy, but he never says, ask him to end his torment. The Bible says that in hell, that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. It was long prepared for the devils and the angels before a human ever went there. And God didn't make hell for a human. God made it for the devil and his angels. He made it for them. Just as beautiful as the Grand Canyon, just over, I've never been to Bahamas, but I've seen pictures, just as pretty as everything is. The God that made all that, that made the prettiest thing you've ever seen, made hell. And just think, if he could have made that pretty, that great, just, you can't imagine how hell is. And people just come in here, man of God, to preach and preach, and they go back out the same way they came. They don't believe it this day of time because people have sugarcoated it. They watered it down. They're not preached that hell is a real place. Matthew 5:25-41 says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye are cursed in the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So get this straight. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. They said, how could God do that to somebody? He's such a loving God. That's right, he is a loving God. He's so loving that he sent his only begotten Son down to die or be born on this earth and to come up and try to tell these people to get right and to get saved and to go to heaven. But yet they rejected him and they killed him on the cross. That's the kind of God I got. He's a loving God. Just think about when he loved you. I think about he loved me. August 15th, 1976. I mean, I could have died before that. I had a 68 GTO and I wrecked it. I cut a telephone pole, a power line in half and clipped a telephone pole and it just the power lines fell on the car and busted my head, broke my nose. It's just the grace of God. God knew one day I was going to get saved. Thank God, God saved me. Thank God, that day I got saved and born birthed into the family of God. And then, the next thing that this man never asked is, he said, when do I get out of here? When do I get out of here? He ain't going to get out. You're there forever. You're there forever. You're not going to get out. He's in torments. He's not going to get out. It's always a question in the hospital and patients. They want to know when you're going to get out. And a lot of times you get out too soon. I have one to come home so bad that I get out too soon. And then you feel bad. And Preacher Hyde, I pray and hope he stays in there until they let him come. Don't push. My mother, she'll go there in the hospital and she'll push all on out. And then when she gets out, she feels worse than she was when she was down there. But this man, he didn't say, when do I get out? He knew he was doomed and damned forever. People in jail, they ain't going to get out. They won't out. They're locked up in life sentence. Now, some of them don't serve a life sentence like they should. They get out before the time comes up. A man takes a man's life, they are to take him. If he's known to do that, why waste the taxpayers' money? Put him to death. He took a man's life, take his life. I tell you what, you do some of that, you pass some more hangings on the street like they used 2 years ago, you wouldn't have all this killing going on. They say, well, you're a mean preacher. I'm going to tell you what God says, to take them out and stone them if they take a man's life. This wicked world we live in, and this country, Bible says all nations that's against God is turned into hell, and this nation has forgotten God. All these sodomites we got, and now the judges are going back and overthrowing the thing about marriage and divorce. I mean, about marriages to the gays. I'm going to tell you what, it's wrong in the eyes of God. God's going to judge us, place. When the judgment of God falls, these people are going to be saying, oh, why is all this happening? They took God out of the schools. They took God out of the house of God. Out of the house of God. They quit preaching God. You go down the road down here and they got their conventional services. They got a this service for kids and they got a divorce service. All they need to do is have a service preaching Jesus Christ. You don't need all these services. Or let the kids go play while the man of God's preaching. You need to be in here preaching. They're the preaching of the Word of God. The baby doesn't bother me if he's crying. I just try to get a hold of God. And my voice is weak sometimes and crackles. But I tell you what, I hate to know a baby can out cry me and I can't preach no louder than that. Turn the mic up. We got mics, they turn them up and just preach on. Let that baby cry. Take him out there and wear his hind end out or whatever and bring him back. Put him in there. Don't take him back there and let him sit in the nursery. I'll tell you what, I've seen them. They get up and my kids was little. All I had to do was stand up. They shut up like that. I'd sit back down. They know when we went out that back door, they wasn't going to have no party. We wasn't going to have no picnic. And then you see these other kids, they get up and their mama will take them to the nursery and take them out and let them play. And they just smile. They shut up. That kid's lying to you. The Bible says they come forth speaking lies from the mother's womb. That kid's lying to you. You give that baby milk. You take care of it. You change his diaper. You do everything wrong and there's nothing wrong. But yet he's crying. That baby's lying to you. Hey, I don't believe in this myth of children's church. Hey, I've seen that junk before. Don't even know who their pastor is. But if I was a pastor in a church and I'll preach my heart out, I sure want them little kids to know who I am. Little Jacob back there, little Zion, sent word with his grandma down there to tell preacher Hyde that he hoped what he said, that he hoped he got better. It said that he missed him and he prayed for him. That's out of a little boy's mouth. He didn't get that back out of children's church. He got down here in the preaching Word of God. He prayed for it. He'll come in there to me sometimes. I got a place under a desk to pray. He'd say, Papa, we need to pray. I said, what about? Well, we just need to pray. And we'll get under that desk and me and him will pray. I'm going to tell you, he didn't get that in a children's church. He got that going back out with his daddy in the men's room, going back out playing with the men. I tell you what, he never asked when he was going to get out. Isaiah 33:14 says, the sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell in the divine fire? Who among us shall dwell in everlasting burnings? Tell you what, one of the best descriptions I've ever heard, how long hell is. You take a little bird and you go down here. It just amazes me when I go to the beach. Ocean, the real religious people call it the ocean. We're going to the coast. They call it coast. We're going to the coast. I'm going to the beach. The coast is, I'm going to the beach. I just go to the beach. I don't go down there and lay out like a lizard or nothing like that. I just go to the beach, you know. And I like to go down there. It just amazes me. It amazes me, all that water. And it's just up of those roaring waves, just rolling and coming down. And just lay down and just roll right up to the edge. And just so peaceful. Ain't God getting good? And it says God poured the waters out of His hand. Just here's the Atlantic, here's the Pacific. Can you imagine that? That's my God we're talking about. And it's eternity that this man's in hell is. Can you imagine a little bird going to the Atlantic coast all the way down, picking up a little grain, one grain of sand, flying all the way to Europe, dropping that one grain of sand, going all the way back until he got all that sand over there. How long that would take? That's just the beginning of eternity. Thank God I'm going to heaven. Thank God the blood of Jesus Christ saved my soul. And I tell you what, I was reading in one spot last night, and this guy's talking about doubting, and you doubt, and you have problems doubting. He says, well, there wasn't but two of you down at the altar. He says, you was praying to God, and God done told you He'd save you. He said, if you prayed with sincere heart, and you asked God to save you, well, who's lying then? You or God? Either you was lying at the altar, or you believe God, because God can't lie to you. Hey, I don't doubt. Now, God help, I might go out that door and start hitting me. Anything can hit anybody. Some people has problems with it. And so I just look at it this way. Brother Robert, there ain't a thing I can do about it. I went to him, and I asked God, told God I didn't want to go to hell. He knows my heart. Most people do more than I did. They ask God to save them. I just told him I didn't want to go to hell. And He knows the bad intents of my heart. So He knows what you wanted. So, therefore, just let it go at that. God knows what you want. Believe in what God says. Trust in God. Amen. Satan just wants to make you miserable. Well, you can't never be nothing for God. But he never asked when he's going to get out. In a long time. And then, fifth, the man in hell, he never asked for justice. He never asked for justice. Hey, he was getting justice. He cried out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. He said, have mercy. He didn't say have justice. He was getting justice burning in hell. In the torments, there's more. It says torments. There's more than just torment, one torment in hell. There's plenty of torments. Can you imagine down in hell is just screaming in your ears forever, forever, forever. No telling what's going on. Maybe it's pitch black and you hear people and maybe you don't hear people. I don't know. I never find out. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you what, and they die and they go to hell. I'm going to tell you, they won't forget the time that they heard the Word of God. Because He said, remember! Justice. Mercy is a compassionate or kindly forbearance shown toward an offender. Just show me some kind of compassionate. Give me something. Be kind to me here. He didn't say, give me justice. The ministering of a deserved punishment. He just wanted a little kindness there. But there was none to be found because He made His way. He lived His life. He died without Christ. Now justice is there. Depart from me, I never knew you. In Luke, interesting. Here's what's interesting. Over in Luke 23 and 39, and one of the malefactors which are hanged or railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save us thyself and us. But if the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. Now that guy saw. He saw. They was getting what they deserved. But it's funny to me, God, Jesus Christ saved a man on the cross when he was dying. Ain't that something? He said, "To this day, thou wilt be with me in paradise." They want to talk about. They want people want to talk about the kind of God we serve. The man in hell, he asked for mercy. And when anybody comes to Jesus, they cannot strut into the kingdom of God. They can't come into a church and walk in and just think, "Hey, I can just go in here and say, well, I Bible says, well, if you just confess Him, you know, He'll save you." Yeah, but let know you got to read the rest of the story. So Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story, you got to come before God with a humble heart and cry out to God. In 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us." We got to come before the Lord. As that song says, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling." It's the cross of Jesus Christ. It's why we'll go to heaven. It's the blood of the Lamb of God. We look back here in verses, in 1 John, there in chapter 1, we look back in verse 5. It says, "Then this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is the light. And Him that is there's no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, as His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." People come, people say, "Oh, I ain't never sinned. I ain't done nothing wrong." Yes, you have. You sinned just then. You lied. Yeah. I'm telling you what, Brother Robert, you know why we get to be such good friends? You know why we all can be so close? Because we got the same light shining in us. Yeah. But I'm telling you what, when you go up to somebody to save, that light to Jesus Christ, they got saved by that same light shining in you. I tell you what, it's good to go up and be able to talk to somebody and you know and they know that they're all going to be going to heaven and we're going to be up there together one day. We're not going to be down in hell. I tell you what. And then this man here, he never asked for the plan of salvation, for a new plan of salvation. He didn't ask for no new plan of salvation. You go to some of these isms that exist today, and they have a new plan of salvation, you know. We got a new way you can get to heaven. Oh, we can all go to heaven, you know. We got our own way, you know. We all go to heaven. They seem to say Jesus lived some 2,000 years ago, and He was right, and He... back then, well, it was right back then, but it's not right for this real intelligent people today. It's not the same way today. See, that's what they want to believe. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The Word of God is the same. The Bible says it never changes. Say, God's He's the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. Don't need a new plan of salvation. They just need to reread their Bible. They need to get in the Bible. And somebody, these people come to your house or employment, and they come there and they want to give you their way of getting to heaven. And the Jehovah Witness is bad about this. And they come to my door and it makes me mad. It makes me mad. It insults me. And then they come to my door. And I get out there and I tell them they're going to go to hell when they don't believe anything. They're just going to go to sleep. Well, take their doctrine, take their papers and go to hell and see who's right when they're there. They won't see me there. I guarantee you they won't be knocking on no doors in hell. These guys on these bicycles riding around with their white shirts and black pants got to ride everywhere with their black satchels and go around. There ain't going to be no bicycles down there, so they'll be down there in hell. Ain't going to be riding no bicycles in heaven. Give us a new plan of salvation. But he didn't ask for that. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 2:11 says, for there is no respecter of persons with God. It doesn't matter who he is. He can still get saved. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one that doeth good. Romans 3:11 and 12 says, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They all gone away out of the way. They all together become unprofitable. And there is none that doeth good, no, not one. None of us. Hey, if it wasn't for the grace of God, the saving grace of God, we'd be out there with the wicked world doing the same thing they were doing. You was doing that before you got saved. I was doing it before I got saved. Running with the world just like the world goes. But through the blood of Jesus Christ. It says, Romans 3:23, for all sin comes toward the glory of God. And Romans 5:8 says, but God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's the heart. It says, with the heart. You've got to believe in the heart. Too many mouths. People make the confession without the heart. That's why a preacher high stretches it. When you come down, get down to the altar and ask God. Because you get with God and you ask God, he knows what the heart wants. You cry out to him. And then when you get saved, you get up and confess God saved you. Hey, I got saved. It took me a week to realize I got saved. It took me a week to realize my life changed because I'd made a profession before. But my life changed and then I realized, hey, something different here. And then last of all, this man never asked for company in hell. Luke 28 says, he says, why have five brethren and they... Verse 28 says, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest also they come into this place of torment. It's kind of interesting. People in the hospital, they like visitors. People in the jail like visitors. People, you know, at your house, you like visitors sometimes. Sometimes you don't, but sometimes you do. This man here, he didn't want nobody to come visit him. He said, send one back from the grave. Let me tell you, someone done come from the grave. Christ come from the grave. He come from the grave. And he stood and testified that he's been died and rose on the third day. And he sent it up into heaven. Then this day and time, they say, well, if I get one from the dead, from the grave, you know, I might believe. Well, if they look at you as a child of God, they don't understand. You was dead in trespasses and sin, and you rose from the grave. Just like Jesus did. You rose because of the blood. You were dead. I was running across a thing last night that movie, the Dead Man Walker, or Green Mile, where a black guy kills his kid and they're going to execute him. And that's what I thought. As soon as that guy said, Dead Man Walking, that's what you look around and see is dead men walking. Thank God they can have life. You can have life. I'm glad I'm saved today. I'm glad Jesus Christ saved my soul. I'm glad I know where I'm going. And I hope you know where you're going. But these things here today, I don't know why God had me to preach it today. I mean, I don't know. God knows. That's all I know. And God knows what he's doing, and I'm not going to question it. But let me ask you today, have you told someone about Jesus? Have you told someone about Jesus? But